Joyful Rustic Poems. The first set of poems, Being a Boy, Summer's Gone By, Winter's Last Breath, and Spirited Spring Winds, attempt to capture the utter joy of youth in a small rural neighborhood near Chadsford, Pennsylvania. The neighborhood was adjacent to a 300-acre campground with a large pond, crisscrossing streams, rolling hills, large swaths of land dotted with clusters of pine trees and oak trees, and tangled with vines. Further down from the campground were what seemed like endless farms and fields, from a child's point of view. Of particular interest to curious lads looking for adventure were two large quarries, full of deep, mysterious water, with swift, cascading currents moving between them. These quarries were from the early 1900s. A small mule trail and set of railroad tracks still ran into one of the quarries. The farms flowed toward the Brandywine River, with a quaint one-car bridge that served as the local gateway to one of the DuPont estates. The pristine gardens, ensconced with bamboo trees and large concrete silos on the estate, made this property seem like a castle. This part of the Brandywine River was wide, but shallow enough for steady crossings and summer swims. Hiking north up to Route 100 led to the Brandywine battlefield. On an early spring morning, if you close your eyes and listen to the breezes rustling the leaves, you could almost sense what early Americans felt in this area. The largest tree in diameter that I have ever seen in my life lies on the battlefield, swallowing up three adults standing side by side. Rumors that Lafayette had leaned against this very tree when wounded during the Revolutionary War was enough to fuel years of adventure. The neighborhood kids and I traversed this area on foot and bicycle many times, all the way through high school. Further galvanizing all these memories of youth was sharing many of these same experiences during rain-soaked runs, winter runs, and midnight summer runs with a champion Irish setter, appropriately named King. My construction boss gave King to me one teenage summer evening, shortly after his wife was dragged nearly 100 yards, with a leash still wrapped around her wrist, into a man-made pond next to their home. Friends, fields, forests, fun, bicycles, a river, a castle, a champion dog, a battlefield. Being a boy. Wearing red floppy sneakers and bright brown eyes, he runs through the fields and searches the sky to capture the joys of being a boy. Parting misty mizzles of rain, he'll stomp through its puddles and twirl in the tingling wetness of its tumbled flight while gazing into the aura of its delight. He'll chase the fog from the treetops and brandish the chill in the air. With a stick for a steed and a sword of moonlight, he gallops through the darkness, waging war with the night. He's just a boy, wild and innocent, mirthful and gay, dancing on dewdrops and drifting away on the bustling winds that frolic through a summer day. As he runs through the fields and searches the sky to capture the joy of being a boy. Seasons Gone By. A herald moonlight trickles through red maple leaves, soothing rantive blades of grass in their furtive quest for seasons past, when chanting whispers rose from passages of pine to float down distant pearly streams toward moss-covered banks and shades of green. And there, the dew would hasten to the dawn in golden glimmers full of song. Meadows embraced by the crescent wind would all be scented in lilac and sime, and crested grasses laden with rain would cower beneath the timbering towers, the orchard leaves, and the autumn flowers. With winter's breath, the valley stood abreast, crossed with trodden trails of doe, leading to the rivers far below. And among spring's thistles and orbs, among the unseen mountains and gorges, lay the dreams of a boy who has touched the soft, slumbering breezes of seasons gone by. Winter's last breath. Seedlings yawning, saplings stretching, young buds sunnily pressing through thin blankets of frost, breezes brushing sleepy grasses, sweeping hillocks matted with crusty leaves. The air, freshly scented, has winter's last breath, turns towards spring. Spirited spring winds, warm, youthful currents stream across the lakes and leas, fiercely racing through the hollows, tugging at the tail feathers of falcons in flight, but delicate enough to balance butterflies, while playfully nudging every pine cone and pine needle in sight, until dusk calls for calm, finally allowing firefly lanterns to corral the ebbing winds, slowly tucking them into the folds of the night, where their passion turns to dreams of the bright, bold days yet to come. Changing landscapes. When the scenery around my childhood home drastically changed over the years, I reflected about progress and its implications. I was personally distraught to see the farmland and fields give way to subdivisions and small shopping centers. The first set of poems in this sequence, Forgotten Fields, as well as Wherever I Walk, lament the changing landscapes in a physical and psychological sense. Forgotten Fields. Wooden wheels lie broken, scattered across fenceless fields. Dust swirls across parched basins, while weeds reach up toward the sky, and here and there, sweet, sweat-stained memories, sowed into the earth, long for another small measure of time, when the plow had one master, and the wind had only one song. Wherever I walk, wherever I walk, softness would greet me. Caressed by silence, darkness would comfort me, and a thought of a new awakening would enthuse me. Wherever I walked, the sky bloomed with radiance, and the beckoning of a breeze filled my soul, quenching my most ardent desire. Where I walk, the lush green memories of fertile fields and flowers flirting with wild honeybees all seem distant and gray, while passing coldly through another concrete day. Spiritual landscapes. Changes that affect a person spiritually and take a great deal of time to work through usually revolve around the passing of a family member or a friend, whether their passing was the result of an accident, illness, domestic conflict, or foreign war. Shortly after graduating high school, a classmate of mine, Michael, died in an accident at the beach. While I did not know Michael very well, it was difficult to understand his passing, as his whole life was before him to embrace. When I was 25 and working in Florida, total sadness overcame me when my mom told me that Billy, a childhood friend, had also passed. I remember sitting next to Billy at 12 years of age in his backyard and watching him look up at airplanes in the sky. His boyhood dream was to fly. Billy had so much exuberance for life as a child, in high school at Penn State, and as a young adult talking about a military career. A training mission over the Appalachian Mountains claimed his life. In the years to follow, my Uncle Frank, my Uncle Joe, and my dad passed away. They all lived active, robust lives as part of the post-World War II generation in America. I was eventually able to formulate words of grief for all of them, along with the hopes of a new life, in three very distinct poems, Sunset, Parents, and Death's Gentle Touch. Recently, my grandniece passed away. The sadness and sense of loss which is quite strong, is expressed in a blessing and a poem, just for her. Sunset. On the edge of darkness, the fading embers of carnelian skies linger in the horizon's crimson cry, and while drifting tufts of motif clouds wait to unveil another night's glistening starlight, bay moon eyes woo the oceans to sleep and send its waves gently lapping upon the beach. The poem Sunset has several deep personal meanings for me. It is indeed describing a very tranquil scene along the bay, an ocean, as the title implies. The visual inspiration for this poem comes from many years of saltwater fishing along the shores and beaches of the Delaware Bay in Lewes, Delaware, with my dad, immediate family, and other relatives. The strength of the ocean and moon by themselves is also a direct parallel to the mental and physical strength that I saw in my father. However, the meaning in sunset goes even deeper. Every time I recite this poem, it reminds me of my dad, my uncles Billy and Michael, and how beautiful I believe their next life is. Parents. I see the home that you built. I see the chair that you sat in and the brown socks that you wore. The memory of you burns strong in my heart. To say that I love you is never enough. You will be with me until the time comes that we will meet again. Parents is another emotional poem for me. It was originally dedicated to my dad, but I thought that it would be more appropriate to change the title as I watched so many people at the cemetery also pay respect to their beloved parents. For Christina, may God bless you, comfort you, guide you, and walk with you in your new life as you and he smile upon the beautiful child you have given this world. For Christina, the embers of your memories will not smolder, your footsteps will never fade, and the gentle nature of your name, along with the glow of your laughter, will flow forever in our hearts. The next poem, Death's Gentle Touch, is an attempt to capture how death should be after living a long life that now welcomes the new life to come. Death's Gentle Touch. Come, my friend, warm me with the crackling glow of an autumn fire, and with gentle words, soothe the sorrow that gnaws the soul. My love has long since passed on. Time has changed the features of my youth, and the thirst that once raged within this heart now speaks from a worn and tattered voice. Let your touch fill the tired hours of waiting and aging alone. Come, spread your wings, cast your cloak around me, and together we will walk through all the old familiar places until our path falls upon the visions of a new life.